Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen and so will we. We who are in Christ have new life. We too shall be raised from the dead. Now in our baptism, and then on the last day, to life everlasting. What a wonderful day to celebrate that. But there is still this little matter called death. And even today, on Easter Sunday, I don't know if you saw the news this morning, but there were hundreds killed in Sri Lanka today, Easter Sunday. And really, all of us are dying. It's a sobering truth, and I don't mean to kill the joy of Easter. Quite the opposite. But we know the realities of this reminder. Our world is filled with attempts to cure cancer, to reverse the aging process, just watch a commercial, to try to prolong our lives. But despite a host of medical marvels and what you might say are medical miracles these days, it can't be done. We are dying, as it were, from the moment of birth. Death surrounds us in our daily lives, from losing an aged loved one to what seem like these random acts of killing in our streets. Some of us even plan for death. I've started meeting with an attorney to plan my last will and testament. Although I've been putting off that meeting for a while. Maybe you know why. Or we buy a cemetery lot or a mausoleum space. We plan for our own demise. And if that's true in the secular world, from our biblically informed lives under God's grace, God's word only adds to our awareness of this. He says, "The wages of sin is death." And he says, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins." But here is the joyful and jubilant truth. The story of death is not the whole story. It's not even the right story. And it certainly is not the end of the story. God had a plan, has a plan. Not just to cheat death or to proclaim this life, but to actually destroy death and to restore life, new life. New life that lasts forever. God's plan from the very beginning is for life. And it's now ours. Through Christ's resurrection. The world as we know it was not God's original design or plan. You remember the accounts of creation where God, when he was finished with creation, 6 days of creation, says it is, he didn't say it's good, he says it's very good. It's That's how we were created to be. That's how this world was created to be. Perfect by God's own standards. That includes God's people. That includes you and me. That's how we were intended to be. Of course, we know the story of how sin and death entered God's perfect world. But God had a greater plan in mind, a greater story anchored in two key truths. One is that sin and its consequence, death, must be dealt with. And new life must be given by that Creator who breathed life into you and me in the first place. That, in short, is the story that we're telling and retelling this weekend of Easter. When the most important events in human history, I would say the most important event that we celebrate today, happened in all of God's history. First, Christ died for our sins. He took that death upon Him that we deserve, our wages. And then He rose to give new life to you and me. Now ours through baptism and in eternity upon His return. We know that with Him, death is not the end of our story. Death is not the plan for our lives. And even that is not the whole story. Our Old Testament reading, which I got to read, from Isaiah, tells us that there's still more. There's still more to this plan. There's still more to this story. This new life in Christ that is ours by baptism, it's only a down payment. It's only a foretaste of the feast to come. Isaiah says, God will create a new heavens and a new earth. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall it be heard the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. Isaiah writes this at the end of a very long book. He's in chapter 65 of 66 chapters. Isaiah has seen it all. He's lived a long life. He's been preaching repentance, repentance, and repentance to his people for so long, he can't remember when he started. He's been telling them about this suffering servant who is going to come to them to redeem them. He's been warning them about the destruction to come, which shows up in the Assyria. The kingdom of Assyria, which takes over, wipes out Israel, and threatens Jerusalem and Judah. Terrorists of the Middle East of the day. God's people had prospered before this. They'd taken a lot of things for granted. And with their prosperity came spiritual depravity. These people maybe had it too good. Sacrifices came easy to them. Service came easy to them. They could afford it. Well, Isaiah had quite a life trying to call God's people to repentance. The realities of the world, he saw them. But things haven't changed. Sin and death still surround us. The technologies of war and of terrorism have, I guess you'd say, gotten more sophisticated, but they're there just as well in sin and death. We're surrounded by it. We can only just try to ward them off and hope they're somewhere distant, not close to home. But God has a better plan, a better way, an actual way of dealing with it. And it's not about us trying harder to live healthier lives, good stewards of the life that He's given us, though we might be. And it's not about giving us another chance to get it right, because we didn't get it right the first time. And it's not simply about reforming ourselves or fixing ourselves from our sinful ways. No, God's solution gets to the heart of the problem, the root cause of all of our ills, sin and death. Jesus goes to the heart of the problem with the plan of God, which is the cross of Christ, to die in our place for our sins, the wages of sin. But here's the surprise. Here's what makes it so amazing. He dies so that we may live. He kills in order that we may be made alive. And He destroys death so that He might recreate life. I love the picture of the caterpillar, which lives life as a worm. Sometimes that's the way I feel. My life is like a worm, crawling around, you know, crawling up the milkweed. And does it end when he goes into the cocoon? It looks like a grave. He rises to new life as a beautiful butterfly. Able to fly. From a worm to being able to fly. Is that not a picture of our resurrected life? A picture of what will be in the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. The former things, he said, will pass away and be forgotten. Life is a worm. You're going to forget when you're a butterfly. Now, you're not going to be a butterfly. Okay. But you're going to be a resurrected human person. Do you know what that means? If your life is like a worm now, that's not what it is to be human. What it is to be human is to be this pure, beautiful child of God. With abilities that you've never imagined. The ability to see things you've never seen before. The ability to build things that are going to last, that you're going to get to see. When I read this Isaiah text, I'm a tree planter, okay? I buy these trees from the state of New York, seedlings. I plant them. You know, they're going to be, as long as I live here, they're, you know, maybe this. But he says, you're going to be like a tree that lasts, like an oak tree that lasts like forever. And he says, when he talks about these 100 years, a person who's going to die young at 100 years, that's figurative. It's like if he were to die, he would die 100 years and then be considered young. He's saying, this is forever. The tree that you're going to plant, you're going to get to see flower into magnificence. This is your promise, Christians. Now we get to see just a little bit of it. But we get to see it in Jesus Christ. A raised human being. He says, now you have become the children of God. Isaiah says, offspring of the blessed of the Lord. So now, what does this look like? We're in the now part, not in the not yet part. What does it look like now? For now, this new creation is wherever the risen Christ is present. Wherever he comes, in a world of death, and brings a word of new life to us poor, miserable sinners who live like worms, lost and condemned in a lost and condemned world. And he brings us words of righteousness and forgiveness and life. You saw a few minutes ago, Sufe, I think, forgot that she had to come down and read. And you saw a glimpse, a tiny little glimpse of forgiveness, of life, that made you do what? Laugh. That's what we all need. But we need more than just a measure of it. We need buckets full of it. That's what Christ gives you today. In his resurrection, new life, lots of it. Washing over you, changing you, making you new. That's what a word of forgiveness is. For now, this new creation is wherever the risen Christ takes our lives of sin and death into his own life and into his own death and into his own resurrection. Buried with Christ by our baptism into his death, we are reunited with him in a resurrection to life. And everlasting life. For now, this place of the new creation is wherever the risen Christ comes to us, even here in his own body and blood, for the forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life. You get a bite of life today in Holy Communion. And if anyone is in Christ, he says, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that's just for now. That's just the first fruits of what's to come. God still has plans for you. God has a plan for all of us. This world that we live in, this mess of a world that we live in, there's so much more to come. We live in a world of sorrow and sadness. We live lives that are full of frustration and frenzy. For all that, there's a reminder that, yes, we are dying. But this whole sinful world, this whole mess of a world, God's good creation now fallen down and falling further down, the life as we know it will end. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of God's plan. Christ is risen indeed. And with Christ comes the promise of the new creation. Yes, we make plans. We make estate plans. We make holiday plans. We make vacation plans. We make plans for this afternoon. We make a plan for our life and sometimes even a plan for our death. But God has a plan for life, a plan for your life. That's what we celebrate especially today. Even the disciples were surprised when Jesus showed up alive, risen, resurrected on the third day, just as he had told them. But this was all according to the plan. God dealt with sin and death. And now comes God's new creation of life everlasting. Only God can create life where there is no life. And God will take our lives that are already dead in our trespasses and create in us clean hearts, and new lives. And on the last day, he will breathe into us the new life of Jesus Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.